The biggest problem with the Los Angeles Lakers is LeBron James. And keep that camera on me because I got a lot of stuff on my mind that I need to get off my chest.
Yeah! Yeah! NBA Strayer! How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Strayer. It is Wednesday, February 27th. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to throw some folding stuff my way. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we wrap up after every single day of NBA action, just while ripping Straya a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. So, quick day of NBA stuff to cover, only three games, but still plenty of stuff to talk about, which is pretty great. So we'll cover all that with the usual dumbassery if that's not a knife. Oh, mate, no mates. Spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball, and of course, yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, an Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. We have a brand new great moment in NBA Straight Stat history that's a celebration of all things deli. Love that. And then we've got a massive game slate tomorrow. So we're going to have all the odds, picks, and previews for every single one of them tomorrow. And we're going to close out with the new Rowdy's Recos as Ryan Brokoff swings by for another life hack. All right, man. It's going to be great. Trust me. Have I ever steered you wrong? Noice. All right, let's do it. NBA Story episode 234. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brokoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wah, you better. No, you better watch out for Shaq saying that he'd been traded six times and he never once cried about it. After a little bit of investigation, NBA Australia was like, hang on a second, Shaq's only been traded three times. What the hell is Shaq talking about? So apparently you got to watch out for the Shaq attack of being loose with the truth. That's how it goes. But you also better watch out for Russell Westbrook, I guess, if you're a little kid in Denver. Or just a Nuggets fan in general, apparently. They're the ones who keep touching Russell Westbrook today. It was a kid who gave him a little bit of a shove. Rusty turned around and gave him a stern talking to. It's like me talking to the dog. What do you reckon, Larry?
Oh, yeah. I reckon I was bad. I tell you.
Some other news. Let's start the way we start every episode here at NBA Show with the daily whip around. Half of the Portland Trailblazers got stuck in an elevator in Boston, which is pretty great. After pracoing at Emerson College for half an hour, eight of them were stuck in an elevator. And I don't know if I'll be the first to say, but fuck that. I don't want to be stuck in a fucking elevator with Myers Leonard, do you? Just imagine his horrible stinky protein farts. Jesus Christ. He'd be the first one up. You go, right, Myers, there's only one way for us to get out of it. And it involves you climbing through this access hatch and getting the fuck out of this elevator because I am sick of you. I love it. Other news, Doc Rivers. As we mentioned yesterday on the podcast, basically stopped the game with 9 seconds remaining between the Clippers and the Mavs to give shouts to Dirk and get a standing ovation from the remaining crowd there at Staples. Doc said today, I had a timeout. I didn't plan it. I just felt like he deserved that. Against Miami, I thought we didn't give Dwayne Wade the right send-off. I wasn't going to let that happen again. Oh, isn't that nice, Doc? And Rick Carlisle turned around and said, it was pretty good. He said, one of the greatest things I've ever seen. It's an original. I've never seen that. Doc is special. One of the people I respect the most. I know Dirk was touched by it. Ah, oh, considering how much of an old fucking crank Rick Carlisle is, that's pretty nice. Neat. Other injury news, Boban Marjanovic might be back scaring Eastern European villages. Quicker than expected, his MRI was negative, so his leg injury that he suffered in the Sixers game the other day, no severe damage, which is good. So hopefully he'll be back and, scaring NBA players as opposed to Eastern European villages like he had been prior. So good stuff there. And that's pretty much about it in terms of news for today. The NBA lifted DeMarcus Cousins' tech foul for throwing a shoe, which was great. I think we mentioned that on the program yesterday. saying how fucking bullshit it was, considering there was a shoe. Jeremy Lamb lost his shoe at the top of the key. Boogie went, get this shit out of here. This is a guy who's torn his Achilles. He doesn't want to roll his ankle in a fucking shoe, so he threw it, and the ref was like, oh, bro, that's a tech. You can't pick up that shoe and throw it off the court. And Boogie's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why didn't you stop play, you fucking idiots? Yes, and this might pop up a little bit later. Anyway, I was incensed. The NBA realized that they fucked up, and they rescinded the tech just as bloody well. All right, the wraps for today. Had a couple of fun games, actually. Which was nice. Orlando went into the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City and somehow managed to deliver the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City their first back-to-back win since November as the Knicks win 108-103. Orlando, you are a shit show. Jesus, can you believe that? This was wild, man. Knicks pulled out this back-to-back out of nowhere, basically. It was in the third quarter. They were like, oh, we'll get it back within two. The Magic pulled away and pulled away again. You're like, all right, cool, this is over. But then the Knicks just came out in the fourth quarter and fucking smoked them. Absolutely smoked them in the fourth. They scored 30 points to Orlando's 13. That is wild. And you know who scored all those points? The fucking bench for the Knicks. That was absolutely wild. They scored all 30 points in the fourth quarter. They had 75 total. It's crazy. So, all right, for the Magic, Terrence Ross was 0 of 8 until he hit a 3 with 30 seconds left to give the Magic a bit of a sniff at this. And still then missed another shot after that. So he ended up 1 of 10. T-Ross sucks. Vooch had 26 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. He was awesome. Eric Gordon was pretty good as well with 26 points and 7 rebounds. Evan, don't Google me, Fournier. He had 15, 5 and 8. Pretty good. 6 of 16 shooting and went missing down the stretch. Johnny Isaac. Love him. 16 points, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks. Went 4 of 6 from 3. But he still kind of got outplayed by Mitch Robinson, which is pretty nuts. But I still love Johnny Isaac there on the Magic. And it's a real shame that Mo Bamba got injured, right? Would have been really cool to see those guys maybe show us a little something down the stretch here. But Johnny Isaac has been quietly pretty okay for the last 2 months. For the Knicks, as mentioned, it was all the bench who went absolutely bananas. And you know what really was the bananas part? Fucking Henry Ellenson. What? That's right. The Knicks just signed him to a 10-day contract and he comes out and has the best game basically of his entire NBA career. Plays the most minutes he's ever played and basically hits the dagger three to seal it for the Knicks when it's all basically tied up. It was absolutely nuts. Henry Ellenson, who would have thunk? Thought he was a bust, but you know, getting some run on the Knicks, why the fuck not? He can join all those other lottery picks. Former lottery picks on the Knicks, what, Noah Vonleh, Manny Moutier. It's pretty good. DSJ, Kevo Knox. Yeah, it's just a collection of misfit toys, isn't it? Mitch Robinson for the Knicks, 17 points, 14 rebounds, 3 steals, and 6 blocks the day after he said, oh, I reckon I could average 6 blocks. And then he went out and did it. Unreal. Manny Moutier had 19 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and was pretty good down the stretch as well. Alonzo Trier had 18 too. It was weird. The starters sucked for the Knicks. Like, Kevo Knox had 8 points on 3 of 16 shooting. Joses. And Dennis Smith Jr. had 9 points on 3 of 10 shooting. So, it was wild. But anyway, the Knicks won this. It was just absolutely unreal. Just storming out of nowhere on the back of the bench for only their 13th win of the season and their first back-to-back, as mentioned, since November. Absolutely wild. So, Orlando, they now dropped to 28-34. Which is not great because they started the day basically a half game out of eighth and now they're a full game back now behind Charlotte in 9. So rough New York City Knickerbockers in New York City. They're 13-48 now. Sure. I mean, tanking away is all good and fun and shit, but at the same time, if you're going to have the same odds as the worst team in the NBA, may as well be the second worst. So 13-48, they're not as bad as Phoenix, who are 12-50. Good job, New York. Speaking of bad teams, the Boston Celtics got absolutely shit pumped by Toronto in Toronto today, 118-95. Just a disgraceful effort by the Celtics. No interest, no hustle. It was all over in the second quarter. The Raps are up 21 at the half. They scored 36 to Boston's 13 in the second quarter, and then the rest of the game was basically garbage time. Which is not great if you're the Celtics and you think you're a contender. Meanwhile, you somehow can't get out of fifth in the East. Meanwhile, the Pacers have been without their best player for basically the best part of a month. Unbelievable. So the Celtics, they shot 38% from the field and hit only 6 of their 33s. That's 20% for anyone playing at home. Flask dad Mook Morris had 17 points and 6 rebounds. Great leader Kyrie Irving had 3 of 10 shooting for 7 points and 5 assists. Yeah, that's some great leadership. All those young guys who missed all those shots really must have gotten you a bit undone there, Kyrie. 28 minutes, 3 of 10. What are you doing? Average Al Horford, 4 of 10 for 8 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. Thoroughly outplayed by Marc Gasol off the bench, at least negated to a large degree. Jaylen Brown, 10 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists and 4 steals. It was pretty good, but only in flashes. And you would have liked him to shoot better than 3 of 8. Terry Rozier, he had 11 points. I know he had a couple of emphatic kind of moments, but again, also shot 3 of 8. And this was the problem. They all shot like shit. 6 of 14 for Mook, 5 of 10 for Jason Tatum, pretty good. Al Horford, 4 of 10. Kyrie, 3 of 10. Marcus Smart, 1 of 5. 2 of 5 for Yabusele. 2 of 8 for Gordo Hayward. He ended up with, that's a rough one, isn't it? 0 of 3 from 3 as well for his 9 points. Ugh, just gross all the way around. So, look, Richman, Harrison Barnes, Jason Tatum, he had 11 points. But, yeah, just a shit showing by the Boston Celtics overall. The Raps, meanwhile, went 17 of 36 from 3 for 47% shooting from 3-point land. That is absolutely bloody wild, isn't it? That's how you win. Just go out there and knock down every single bloody 3-point shot you take, pretty much. Pascal Siakam had himself a game. 25 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Was 4 of 5 from 3. That was pretty unreal. Kawhi. That's right, Kawhi Leonard. He had 21 points in only 26 minutes. Had an absolute thunderous dunk in there too that was unreal. Serge Ibaka had 14 points. He went 2 of 2 from 3. Big booty Kyle Lowry had 7 points and 11 assists. Coach Killer Marc Gasol off the bench. Not too much in the way of counting stats, but you just could feel his actual impact while he was out there, which was pretty crazy considering the opposite was true a lot of the time in Memphis. 5 points, 2 of 6 from the field, 8 assists, holy shit, 5 rebounds, and 45 points off the bench for the Raptors, and absolutely smoking the Celtics. It's pretty great, man, pretty great. It was a fun game, basically, if you're a Toronto fan. Pretty shit if you're anybody else who was like expecting a pretty good game. Boston, they now drop to 37-24, 5th in the East, as mentioned, and Toronto holds steady. Just like the hold steady at 45-17, second in the East. And then finally today, OKC played Denver. And this was a fun-ass game. It threatened to be a bit of a blowout similar to the first game of the game prior as Denver up 18, but the Thunder came storming back. See what I did there? It's a pretty good one. In the fourth, even took the lead briefly thanks to Rusty hitting a three, but Denver just rode it out thanks to jamming Jamal Murray and the Joker Nikola Jokic alone. And a lot of timely Paul Thrillsap offensive rebounds that pretty much killed all the Thunder's momentum and won the game for Denver. So this was really like pretty indicative of how OKC keep playing Denver this year. It's like close. They have moments, but they just can't get over the hump. And Denver, a very handy flex by them and a very good time heading, you know, into a pretty rough stretch of the season where they want to hang on to one of those two top spots in the West, and they beat the third team. So that's how you do it. The old double win. Love it. Inflict a loss, get a win yourself. Paul George had a pretty rough night for the Thunder. 25 points on 7 of 24 shooting. 3 of 14 from 3. One of those threes came at the third quarter mark going into the three-quarter break. Hitting it from half court. It was fucking awesome. Still 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and 6 steals, even though he struggled shooting. He was still a menace. It was pretty good, but man, wouldn't mind seeing him a couple more shots in that one. Rusty had 22 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists, almost a triple-double from Rusty Westbrook. But again, just down the stretch, couldn't quite stick with them. Jeremy Grant went 9-12 for 21 points. Stephen Adams Brew was 15-5. But T-Ferg, Markeith, hashtag Marcus Morris, and Ray Felton stunk, though. But stinking up the joint was Dennis Schröder. I'm German. Rondo. He had 11 points on 5 of 17 shooting. Yikes. Brutal. For the Nugs, Joker was 36, 9, and 10. We'll talk about him in a second. That's unreal. Thrill Sap was 12 and 10 with four offensive boards, as mentioned, that killed the Thunder. 23 for Will the Thrill Barton. And Jam and Jamal had 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, while Isaiah Thomas, the little guy, went 3 of 5 from the field. That's 2 of 3 from 3 with for his 11 points. And it's just everywhere he goes, man. People love him. And the Denver crowd were very appreciative of the little guy tearing it up, which was awesome. Love me some Isaiah Thomas. I hate the old Isaiah Thomas. Love the new one. The old one's a dickhead who on the broadcast earlier was taking basically credit for small ball because he was running a shit franchise in Toronto and couldn't get any players and inadvertently didn't really have a power forward and therefore thought he was inventing small ball. Meanwhile, when he was in charge of the Knicks, he thought Eddie Curry and Zach Randolph would be amazing together and traded a whole bunch of shit for Eddie Curry. Yeah, old Isaiah Thomas, not smart. Anyway, OKC now dropped to 38 and 22, still keeping their nose just sitting there in third in the West, just ahead of the Portland Trailblazers. And Denver, 42 and 18, only a one game back from the Warriors. Nice. All right, so let's do it. Who was the NBA Australia Era approved performance of the night?
That's a knife.
Nikola Jokic, hello! 36, 9, and 10 was immense. God damn, he was good down the stretch too. Which is when you're kind of like, ugh. Can Joker keep up? Considering his conditioning isn't the best. His conditioning kind of basically reminds me of mine, which is a whole bunch of goat curd in a condom. That's what it all looks like. Oh, geez. But look, how about fuck that? Nikola Jokic is amazing. 36, 9, and 10 is immense. That's awesome. He got the win. But how about fucking Henry Ellenson for the Knicks? On a 10-day contract, he goes out and plays a career high 36 minutes and only his second game for the Knicks. A career high 36 minutes. He has 13 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals, and ends up going 3 of 6 from 3, including the dagger that got the Knicks basically the win. Absolutely wild stuff. Henry Ellenson, I was always kind of like, this is weird that Detroit don't play him more, considering he was their 18th pick? When they took him, and they sort of gave up on him pretty quickly too. Clearly didn't fit in with Stan Van Gundy and Dwayne Casey's plans there in Detroit for some fucking unknown reason. But came to New York, and look, as they're trying to tank, he got a bit of run, had himself a fucking game. Give him a bit of shine. On ya, Henry Ellenson. That one, you know where that's going for Henry Ellenson? That's definitely going straight to the pool room.
This is going straight to the pool room.
All right, what about old mate no mates for today, though?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, you're tempted to say the kid who gave Rusty Westbrook a bit of a shove there in Denver. And you're like, hey, kid, maybe don't shove the NBA player. But Rusty was pretty cool about it. He turned around, gave him a talking to, clearly like, hey, man, I'm not shoving you. Why are you shoving me? Just settle the fuck down. So old mate no mates is actually probably just going to go to Ja Rule. I think it was Monday, we were talking about his horrible performance between at halftime on the Milwaukee-Minnesota game. And Ja Rule, as evidenced by the entire Firefest debacle, pretty clearly doesn't know when he's not on a good thing and decided to double down and started talking shit about how the Sacramento Kings wouldn't win a championship and that Karl Anthony Towns was leaving them as well. To which the Kings pointed out, Ja Rule, hoop knowledge, worse than Firefest logistics. Yes. Ja Rule responded, never win a chip. Crying emoji, laughing, crying emoji. Then doubled down, said, I bet I throw another festival before Sacramento Kings win a championship. Never win a chip. I mean, Ja, you might be in jail for fraud, and Sacramento might win a championship. So I don't know how your curse is going to go, mate. Darren Fox responded, you need to curse Milwaukee. Are we ready? I guess not. And Ja Rule responded to De'Aaron Fox, saying, Fox, stop fronting. You won't be there come free agency, LMAO. Make the commitment now, then tell them you want to re-sign for the next 10 years, LMAO. Ja, that makes no fucking sense. And then backs it up and saying, haha, the curse is real. Love the city of Sacramento, though. Great people.
I want to play shows there one more time. Please book me for any shows, club or otherwise. Nice one, Jar. And then finally, if y'all change your name back to the Rochester Royals, I'll lift the curse, LMAO. Jar, you're not... I mean, come on, man. I mean, I don't mind having a couple of pops and just jumping on Twitter and letting fucking fly, but that's just dumb. And he was rightfully dragged. So good stuff, Ja Rule. Definitely old mate, no mates. What about Spud of the Night, though?
Spud of the Night.
This could go to pretty much anybody. Kevo Knox for the Knicks. 3 of 16. Absolutely wild. 0 of 2 from 3. And it's like, Kevo, how do you go so badly, mate? Dennis Schroeder with his 5 of 17 outing is gross. Terrence Ross with his 1 of 10 shooting today. And still coming up big randomly at the end, but then missing another shot and, you know, losing. Or we can just call it the entire Celtics team. So this is a dealer's choice, and the Celtics shooting 38% against the Raptors versus T-Ross's 1 of 10. I might even give it to the Celtics, because that was just a fucking... They just laid the biggest goddamn egg you'll ever see up there in Toronto. It's like a fucking great pineapple, giant pineapple. What do we call it? Great pineapple? It's like the big koala on the way to Adelaide. You know, all that good shit. One of those sized things in fucking Toronto. And pantsing of the night. I want to give this to Aaron Gordon. Got pants twice because he got blocked by Mitch Robinson twice on the one possession, which was fucking nuts. Holy shit. You could also give this to the Celtics and Kyrie's leadership getting flogged in Toronto by the Raps. We actually mentioned this on the podcast in our preview yesterday that it was going to be interesting to see how the Raps went up against the Celtics now that they've got Marc Gasol and how it would fuck with the Celtics now Horford, and we were bang on, so that's pretty neat. But the Celtics got pantsed by the Raptors, and so did Aaron Gordon by Mitch Robinson. To be honest, I just love anybody named Mitch Robinson. Yes, on you, Mitch. Good shit. One of my all-time favorite footballers. Who was better than Lonzo Ball for today, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, as long as we stay injured and the Lakers' problems are not our fault. Isn't that right, Lonzo? Look, we'll give this one to Mitchie Robinson. He was fucking unreal for the Knicks today. 17 points, 14 rebounds. Absolutely nuts. He goes 6 of 9 from the field. 6 blocks, 3 steals. He was unstoppable. And I just love watching Mitch Robinson play. He's unreal. The fact that he's like one of those sneaky dudes who you're like, he's not that big. And then you're like, fuck, is he actually 7'1"? And it's like, yeah, he is. So look, considering that Trae Young and Alonzo Ball both did not play today, Mitch Robinson, you are better than both of them. Nice one. All right, let's do Yeah Nahs right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Oh, how good is House Hats, though? I think they're the heroes we need right now in this time of... we're now not allowed to listen to the Smith Street Band. Go listen to House Hats. They're the fucking best band in Australia. All right. It's Yeah Now, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, should Ja Rule go back to happy obscurity ASAP? Yeah. When you're getting dragged by De'Aaron Fox and the Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves, Ja, mate, I'm not sure if you learned anything from Firefest, but maybe just pull your fucking head in. Just saying. Next up, do the Knicks have a brighter future than the Orlando Magic? Yeah, nah. I mean, kind of, yeah. I mean, what's the bright spot in this Orlando franchise at the moment? The fact that, what, Johnny Isaac's pretty long? That Mo Bamba might actually, like, be able to play basketball in 2 to 3 years? To be honest, the Knicks are kind of fun. Dennis Smith Jr., Mitch Robinson, Kevo Knox, add their free agency haul of Kemba Walker and Jimmy Butler next year, and that's going to be a brighter future than the fucking Magic. I mean, I'd like to see the Magic be good. I'd like to see them be relevant. I'd like to see them be fun, but it doesn't look like it, whereas the Knicks, there's at least a pathway to it, right? Yeah. Next one. Was firing Tibbs the best thing for big Karl Anthony Towns? Yeah, this is our winner of
the NBA Australia approved performance of the night yesterday after his massive car crash. Since Tibbs is fired, Karl Anthony Towns is averaging 25.8 points, 11.8 rebounds, 3.8 assists, and shooting 56.3% from the field, 42% from three, and 86.7% from the free throw line. So was firing Tibbs the best thing for Cat? Yeah, nah. Yes. Holy shit. That is fucking wild, isn't it? Yeah, could you believe that, like, you know, just having a hard-ass coach was holding him back? It's weird. Anyway, maybe just really loves Ryan Saunders' back rubs or something. Next up, should the refs chill the fuck out when it comes to Boogie Cousins? Yes. My God, that tech was purely based on fucking the fact that it was Boogie Cousins throwing the shoe and that it sort of got in towards the crowd than anything fucking else. A, the ref should have just called a fucking stoppage when they noticed there was a shoe in a dangerous fucking spot on the floor. And B, it shouldn't have been a fucking tech if the player's throwing it off the fucking court. Refs, when shit gets fucking rescinded, you should get fined the amount that the player was going to get fucking fined. Maybe stop blowing those fucking bullshit techs. Refs, they're shitting me up the wall. Just saying. It's been a favorite topic of conversation in the NBA Australia office of late. Oh, if I was on the ringer, would I be saying, oh, the NBA Australia Slack? Oh, on the NBA Australia Slack? Oh, I was talking on the NBA Australia Slack the other day. Oh, you should have seen what was on our Slack. Fucking nerds. Final, yeah, nah. Can the Lakers do enough to make the actual playoffs? Oh, wait, we've got two more. Yeah, they can, but fucking hell, it's going to be tough. So it's pointed out their final eight games of the season are against almost all playoff teams. That's like the next 14 games, they pretty much have to go 12-2 to stand a chance of actually getting to 45 wins, which probably maybe eke them into that eighth spot in the West. But their last eight games are against Utah, Charlotte, the Pelicans, the Thunder, the Warriors, the Clippers, Utah again, and the Blazers. Holy shit. That's fucking wild. I mean, they can do it, but man, it's gonna be rough. And then final one is, can you believe this one? Oh, geez. Is Stephen A. Smith correct? Should we stop calling LeBron the best player in the world? Oh, Lordy. Stephen A. did say today, the biggest problem for the Los Angeles Lakers is LeBron James. Keep that camera on me. I got a lot of stuff in my mind I've got to get off my chest. From this day forward, we've got to stop calling him the best player in the world. We're going to stop that right now. I mean, I'm going to call Giannis the best player in the world right now, maybe. Maybe Kevin Durant. Probably Kevin Durant. James Harden. He tries more on defense than LeBron does. So, because look, man, you can't call out teammates for first, second, and third efforts when you're barely giving a first effort on defense. You just can't. It's fucking hard, man. It's like, oh, but he's saving himself for the playoffs. Yeah, did you know what MJ did? Just played his fucking ass off all the time. So, kind of siding with Stephen A here at the moment. You can't just not play defense and have everyone think that you're the best player in the world. Even if you, like, that's James Harden. We've been shit-talking him for ages, and this is how it goes, man. Feels weird to be agreeing with Stephen A. Smith, but this is where we are. It's weird. All right, look at me. Time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. Brad Stevens is better at coaching bad teams than he is coaching good ones. Ooh, it's a nice one. What about Outback Takeouse? Come on in to Outback. It's Wednesday. That means it's hump day. And on Wednesday, we have West Sydney Razorback ribs, cooked by our very own West Sydney Razorback alumni, Derek fucking Rucker. That's right, West Sydney Razorback ribs on Wednesday, only at Outback. And they go great with a flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is, Michael Jordan would never have had the lack of focus and lack of effort that LeBron James has. That's why he's still the GOAT. Don't ever forget that Michael Jordan, when he was 34, played 38 minutes a night, averaged 28 points a game, was on the all-defensive first team, and won MVP. This was in the same year that Scottie Pippen missed 40 games, Aussie legend Luke Longley missed 25, and Dennis Rodman was losing his fucking mind. Jordan dragged that fucking team to 62 wins, the number one seed, and a championship, and turned 35 that season as well. That's why LeBron James will never be as good as Michael Jordan. Only at Outback. Whoa! It's a pretty good Outback takeout. Yeah, I dig it. All right, let's do the... Look, there was no actual Australians playing, so the Australian Player Watch is going to be a bit brief today, but we'll just have a big third segment, which we'll go look through the G League guys, the Patty Mills Game Day Baller, Twitter check-in, and the game previews. So we'll do that all at once right after this.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, we're back. It's time for the Australian Player Watch. No one played today, which was absolutely wild. Bangers Baines are still out for the Celtics, so he was the only one who would have actually had a bit of a chance of playing. But we do have... what do we got? We've got Portland play... Maybe we see Bangers. Bangers probably won't be back till next week. Patty Mills plays Thon McCur tomorrow and for Detroit at San Antonio. We've got the Jinglin Joe Ingles taking on his old former team, the Clippers as well. Rowdy Brockoff might be playing against Indy, and that'll be basically about it. No Cavs game, no Philly game tomorrow, but yeah, there you go. So look, let's have a look at the G League guys. Mitchie Creek out there with the Boomers along with Isaac Humphrey. Humphreys, so how'd they go against Kazakhstan and Iran for the Boomers? Well, they took a bit of a break from the G League, and Mitchie Creek... 12 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals against Kazakhstan and against Iran. 20 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal, and even went 2 of 7 from 3. On you, Mitchie. Crushing it. And Hump Day, Isaac Humphreys crushed it as well, taking a break from the Erie Bayhawks against Kazakhstan in 19 minutes. He had 17 points and 7 rebounds to go with 1 assist. And against Iran, 6 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist. 3 of 8 from the field, and not too bloody bad. Meanwhile, Deng Adel back in America, still playing for the Canton Charge on his two-way contract with the Cavs. Win over Greensboro. He played 36 minutes at 18 points. Went 8 of 16 from the field, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. Pretty good game. Win over Erie. He had 22 points. 9 of 16 from the field, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block. And the win over the Fort Worth Mad Ants, or whatever it is, 0 points, rough one. 0 of 6 from the field, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. So he had 2 really good games and 1 stinker. That's a shocker. All right, well, it's Wednesday. Let's throw in a brand new great moment in NBA Australia stat history.
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
Oh, love this one. Because 4 years ago today, King Deli of Maribyrnong, first of his name, smasher of tins, gatherer of loose balls, went out there against the Pacers. LeBron James chucked a sickie, and it was all on Deli. Absolutely wild. That's right. Goes out there, plays 38 minutes. One of the most, the highest, you know, minute tally that he'd had almost to that point. He'd played a couple of other bigger games in overtime or whatever, but still. Deli, in that 38 minutes, took the most shots in any game for his entire career to date, which was absolutely wild. He took 18 shots, hit 5 of them, ends up on 14 points, but gets 10 rebounds as well. That shows you how much heart and grit is in Matty Dellavedova. For a 6'3", 6'4" bloke to get 10 rebounds is absolutely wild. He also had 5 assists, should have been about 15, I reckon. J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert, though, shot 7 of 17 each. So reckon Deli could have had about 20 assists in that one, missing all these fucking open shots, JR and Iman. But still, on your Deli, also got slugged with 4 fouls, classic anti-Australian bias from the refs. 4 turnovers, you get that on the big jobs though. But 14 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, most attempts in his career, and got the win without LeBron. Deli, you absolute star. That is a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. All right, Patty Mills Game Day Baller, Game Day Twitter check-in. Got a good one from Thon McCur. Tweeted out yesterday, got a win for my birthday. On to the next. Hashtag playoff push. Nice one. And we did wish Thon a very happy birthday yesterday. Good job, Thon Song slash aka Kung Fu Thon, aka Big Schlong Thong. Nice. All right, let's do some game previews, shall we? Let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. We've got a big day tomorrow, don't we?
That's right, man. We've got 11 games tomorrow. That's nuts. So let's go through them all, give you some odds, and make our picks and give a bit of a preview for all of them. So the Houston Rockets visit the Charlotte Hornets. Rockets, 4-point favorites on the road in Charlotte, and I will take Houston. Thank you very much. With everybody healthy now, it's weird that there are only 4-point favorites in Charlotte. Charlotte have been at home for a little while, so they'll be nice and rested. But at the same time, Houston, 4 points. I reckon they'll smash Charlotte. They could easily put up like 140 on them. And yeah, so give me Houston there, -4. The Wolves play in Atlanta. They are also 4-point favorites, and I will also take that 4 points. The Wolves are on a bit of a, look, they're up and down to the extreme. Are the Wolves? They've gone 5-5 in their last 10, but they have won 4 of their last 5. So I feel like they're going to smash the Hawks, and I will take the -4 for the Wolves. I think they'll really kick the crap out of the Hawks in this one. Just a little bit too much going on for the Wolves. Wizards play in Brooklyn. Brooklyn are 5-point favorites at home. It's a rough one. Wizards, you just don't know which way they're going to go, but I will take the Nets -5. I think they will have a pretty good game and beat the Wiz pretty handily. Caris LeVert sort of rounding back into actual basketball playing form. And D'Angelo is riding high at the moment. So the Wiz have literally got one dude who can play basketball for them. So Brad Beal might have 50, but the Nets might still win by 6. The Warriors play in Miami against the Heat. They are 9-point favorites. I will take the Warriors. The Heat are just a bit of a shit show of late. So, yeah, I just can't trust Miami. Especially, look, they just lost to the Suns. They lost to the Pistons as well. It's like, ugh, can you really trust Miami? No, I can't. And the Warriors, I think, will beat them by pretty handily. So -9, I'll take that for the Warriors. Thank you very much. Even if the Warriors go out that night in Miami, you'd hope that they'd postpone it till after the game. The Blazers play the Celtics in Boston, which is why they got trapped in an elevator. Love in an elevator. Give me the Blazers +2.5. The Celtics look like a fucking schmozzle today. The Blazers are on a bit of a nice run. So I think they should be able to maybe eke that out. And if you're getting points, yeah, I'll take that. Thank you very much. The Celtics have lost 3 straight. Can you believe it? It is brutal. 5 of the last 7. But still, yeah, give me Portland. They're getting points. Underdogs on the road. Celtics on a back-to-back. Jesus. Yeah, Blazers all the way. Bulls play the Grizzlies. Oh, geez. This is rough. Grizz -3.5 at home. I might take the Bulls. I think the Bulls can load up and, you know, basically score. So I'll take the 3.5 points for the Bulls. Thank you very much. They will maybe get Otto Porter back for this one. Maybe Chris Dunn too. The Grizzlies are basically Mike Conley and Joakim Noah at this point, which is a bit of a shocker. So yeah, 3.5 points for the Bulls. I'll take that. Pistons play the Spurs. It's the 2004 finals all over again. Wait, 2005 finals. There we go. Pistons, 4.5 point underdogs on the road. Spurs reeling after their rodeo road trip where they went 1-7. I'll take the Spurs -4.5. I think there'll be a bit of a beatdown on their behalf today, well, tomorrow. And yeah, I'll take the Spurs. It seems like a lot, and I'm not sure if they actually completely cover, but I might just place a little bit of faith in Pop just going, fuck it. We're going to kick the shit out of the Pistons. Pacers play the Mavs. This will be pretty fun as well. Mavs, 1.5 point underdogs at home. I think I'll take that. Mavs, I reckon Indy just going to run into a little bit of trouble here against a couple of good teams. They've had a pretty cupcake schedule up to now, so give me the Mavs +1.5. Clippers play the Jazz in Utah. Watch Jingling Joe Ingles just wreak revenge on the team that cut him. 9.5 point favorites are the Jazz at home, and you know what? I think I might take that. I think the Clippers, considering they just lean on Montrezl Harrell so much, I reckon the Jazz might have a couple of answers named Rudy Gobert for him and Derek Favors, so yeah, give me the Jazz. I might go on a little bit of a limb and take the -9.5. The Bucks, they play the Kings in Sacramento. That should be an absolute pearler as well. Looking forward to that one. Jesus. Maybe Giannis is back. Set out the last one. Either way, the Kings are 5-point underdogs at home. I'll take the Bucks -5. I think they're very, 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 very good. If Giannis doesn't play, give me the Kings plus five. Easy. And then finally, the Pelicans play the Lakers, which is absolutely hilarious. The reeling Lakers. Anthony Davis gets to go up against his future teammate and everybody else on the Lakers get to go, oh, so is Jrue Holiday pretty good? Well, we better get used to playing with him. That's going to be fun. Anthony Davis is going to be sitting there going, man, I love LA. Can I just sit out the rest of the fucking season after this game? Sure. Loving it. Lakers are 5.5-point favorites. And you know what? I will take the Pelicans plus 5.5. The Pelicans play fucking hard. The Lakers, as evidenced by that loss to the fucking Grizzlies, do not. So I think the Pels will keep it close as long as they hit some shots. Just watch Julius Randle try to get a bit of revenge. He'll go for like 30 and 15, I reckon. And the Lakers might win this, but the Pelicans will keep it close and cover at 5.5 points. So give me the Pels plus 5.5. Whoa, what a great game. What a great day. Can't wait for that. So that's it for today. We're going to wrap all that up tomorrow. Can't wait for that. It's going to be fun as hell. Should be good. So in the meantime, make sure you're all over NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Instagram. We're all over the socials during the games. You know that. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. Follow us on Spotify. It helps out heaps if you just chuck us a quick rating. Just hit those 5 stars, would you? And tell a mate. Go, oi, dickhead, you listen to NBA Australia? It's back daily again, bro. You better get around it. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out House Hats. As mentioned, they are the best band in Australia, especially now that we're not allowed to listen to Smith Street Band. House Hats, I've been broken. Their new album's out March 29, but they are launching it at the Old Bar, I believe, on April 12. I will be there. Will you? I mean, you better. No fucking round, man. I'll see you there. April 12. House Hats album launch. Love House Hats. They're awesome. You should too. Big thanks also to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Facey, and everything. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, and so should you. And that's it, man. Stick around for a new Rowdy's Reco as Ryan Rowdy Brockoff swings by for a life hack. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Horizon! Hello there, friends. It's Ryan Rowdy Brockoff here, just back for the latest installment of Rowdy's Recos, where I, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, try to help you live a little bit more of a stress-free life. After all, I survived playing in the Russian League, where I once got a week's pay in the form of gallon bottles of vodka, and in Indiana, where the entire crowd was related. So I've dealt with ridding myself of my share of stress. Okay, so this week's Rowdy's Reco is really, 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 really easy. When you find life stressing you out, there's a really simple solution. Just pop into the nearest florist and buy some nice flowers to brighten up your day. That's right. It doesn't matter if it's for the office or for home or even for your beloved significant other. Buying flowers and just having them around will make you feel like $1 million in no time. And I know that when I was in Russia, I couldn't even get fresh flowers because they usually cost about 1 million rubles, which, even though that's about $35, when you're being paid in vodka, the exchange rate really works against you. So there you go. It's simple. If you're feeling tired, feeling stressed, just get a nice bunch of flowers and the relaxing vibe of nature will wash over you, ridding yourself of the day's stress and really brighten up the rest of your day. Okay, so that's our Rowdy Reco for this week. We'll have another one for you next week. And until then, I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. Keep living your best life and namaste.